Welcome to Word of Grace, Celebrate Recovery. My name is Pastor Mike. I'm a believer in Christ. I have struggled with some anger issues, with some depression, with some gambling issues for like a number of years. And I can guarantee you, life is not perfect today, but it is much better. I can tell you, we all can have some issues and struggles. Do not let life say, it sucks, it stinks. Just understand that sometimes we get that way. And we're going to be talking about sanity, how to dial in and bring some clarity to when life stinks. And life sometimes does throw us a curveball. Baseball season is well underway in spring training, and you're not going to be on a major league roster if you can't hit a curveball, if you're a position player. And curveballs get thrown our way sometimes in the form of relationships, sometimes in the form of bills, sometimes in the form of an illness, sometimes in the form of a job or the lack of job or money, or guess what? Our own choices. And so we're going to try and dial in some sanity and help you understand some meaning or some purpose in life. And just I want to call your attention quickly in your bulletin. There's a prayer card. If you have anything at all, you just fill that out, drop it in the bucket as we leave here tonight or before you go off to your groups. I'd love to be able to pray. You don't have to. You can leave your name if you want. If you don't need to leave your name, God knows who you are. And we will pray over your request a number of times and believe with you for God to bring some good things into your life. Also want to make you aware, if you do not attend church anywhere, that there will be Easter services here Saturday night, as well as Sunday morning. Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Sunday morning, 8:45, 10:45. And if you have children, there's an Easter egg hunt down at the municipal building here in Falls. 12 until 1, we have all kinds of bounce houses in the building there. There will be hot dogs and games. 1 o'clock sharp, 12,000 Easter eggs with candy will be out in Riverview Park. It'll be organized chaos in the snow. And it will get separated. It's not the big kids are going to charge and knock the little ones over, okay? That would be called a face washing when I was in school. Anyhow, so it will be, we'll try and police that politically right. I just wanted you to be aware of those Easter activities that are going on here. And if you would, say the serenity prayer with me and we'll get at sanity. Go ahead, say it with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you'll make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. And one last thing I wanted to say, thanks to Mark for doing a great job on Hope last week. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that a lot. It allowed me to pick up a pair of binoculars, another rifle, and some branding irons. And, you know, Maureen happened to be sitting there, and somebody said, well, are you going to, when there's a campfire, which one, are you going to kind of sear the hide? That's more than what you needed to know, right? But really, they're branding irons to put, well, when you have a good steak where you could stamp the good old NR of A on your steak before you slice it up. That's what it was supposed to be for. Anyhow, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it a lot. And so sanity. Dialing in sanity. When life is crazy, when it throws you that curveball where you're not quite sure where something is going, how do you bring it back? And tonight I want to talk to you just a little bit about that. What does the need for sanity say to you? Chances are it simply means there's some chaos, there's some poor choices, life is a little bit out of control. Sometimes it's by our own choices. Sometimes it's by some things that are going on in our family, with our relationships, our friends, in our job. Sometimes it's just a cluster. Sometimes it's like the end of March is coming and we just got March's rent is paid and now April's coming and the old car is just barely limping along and it needs to be fixed. And man, and then I'm having some problems with the child, or somebody is sick, and mom is calling, and I need to do this, or somebody's It's just life. It's just a pressure. It's just kind of like all intertwined. And what? How do we get some sanity? How do we get some clarity? And you see, that's what we're going to try and talk to you about today. Because understand, each one of these steps, Celebrate Recovery is a 12-step Christ-centered program, 12 steps, 8 principles. Each one of them is taught in order to have the whole program make sense, whether you're here the first time or whether you're here the last time. Each step, each principle builds off of the previous one, but each message is also a standalone, so you can take something away. But if you continue to come back, it always builds upon each teaching so that it continues to help bring some more clarity to the issue of why do I do what I don't want to do? See, that's why many of us get here. Why do we do what we don't want to do? How do we bring it back into sanity? How do we bring it back into clarity? As we started a few weeks back, well, let me talk about sanity just a minute, and then we'll come back to the few weeks ago. So, sanity. Principle 2, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. That is, you need to start with the belief, as Wally was, he didn't realize that I was probably going to be teaching sanity as he was going through his little spiel here tonight. And so, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. Step 2, we came to believe the power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. For it is God who works in you to will and according to his good purpose. Philippians 2:13. You see, as we started this, the process, as we go from step 1 to step 25, or there's like 25 different lessons, it probably takes me about 9 months to get there because we get sidetracked, we do a few other lessons in between. But that's okay. Anyhow, step 1 was a few weeks ago. We talked about denial. And we talked about in denial, you have to get to the point where you begin to say, all right, you finally come to the reality of understanding what your issue is. What is it that Mike struggles with? Put your name in that place. What is it that you struggle with? What is it that has been going on in your life for quite a while that you just wish was a little bit different? You need to identify that. You see, when I was dealing with my own issues, as I've told you before, I don't have a problem with gambling. I can stop anytime I want, and then I'm back to the casino. You know, but then when I was trying to deal, and it went from depression to anger to an addiction. There's always a process, and you need to deal with each step of it along the way. The root cause of what got me to all of these things was my identity, my self-worth as a man, who I was, because I had been in a major illness and out of work for like 5 years. And so therefore, that first of all led me to depression, and now I'm getting ticked off and mad at the world and want to make somebody else feel sorry for me so I can have somebody in my pity party. And then from there, finally, as I started working a little bit again, then you end up into the casino, and I found a way to make some easy money and kind of got trained a little bit on the system and continued to work the system for a number of years. And first thing you know, you're stuck into something. And now you think, well, I got rid of the anger. I got over the depression. This must be a good thing. But what we do not understand is how these things and here's my definition of something that's a hurt or habit or hang-up: anything that controls you. Anything that controls you, that you cannot stop on your own, that you cannot change on your own. It could be eating. It could be some language. It could be something on the internet. It could be multiple things. Anything that controls you is something that can be an addiction. And you need to take close notice to it. It's not always just drugs and alcohol. For some of us, it can be depression. For some of us, it can be anger. For some of us, it can be a multiple of all of these events. And you see, when we talked about denial a few weeks back, I also talked a little bit about mental illness and bipolar. And I'm going to bring just a little bit of that back in again. If you did not hear that a couple weeks back, if you didn't hear hope last week, if you didn't hear powerless the week before, or denial the week before that, you can go to our church website and listen to those messages. And we talked a little bit about bipolar. I'm going to bring that back in. Because mental illness and depression is every bit as much as an issue in our households, in our lives. Oftentimes causes us to either use pills, use alcohol, use other things to try and make ourselves feel good at the moment because we're so blah. It's like the sanity dial is gone. Right? So tonight we're going to be focusing on the sanity dial, okay? What is normal? We're going to ask that question. sometimes it's hard to keep that focus in. But let me talk to you for just another moment before I get there. You see, as the result of admitting our powerlessness after denial, we had to admit that we were powerless. We've tried all kinds of things. We've promised people, I'm going to change. I'm going to stop doing this. And yet we find ourselves doing it. You know what that does? That continues to reinforce your mind with guilt and shame. I'm no good. I guess I'm the loser that Dad said I was. You know, or my brother or sister, they were always better than me. I guess I'll never make it. And our continued reinforcement of our own self-esteem continues to condemn us. And if we don't believe in ourselves, who will? You see, it's hard to have faith if you can't even believe in yourself. If you can't believe, you got to get to the point of where you push past that, where you push past the problem and you get to the core of the issue and you say, God, my life is out of control. I surrender. I give up. I need help. And at that point, you can say, I'm going to leave it here, God, and I'm going to talk to you about some ways of how you can dial in the sanity meter, okay? Because this is important stuff. You see, insanity has been defined as doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. We've probably heard that definition. So now what is the definition of sanity? Sanity has been defined as wholeness of mind, making decisions based upon truth. Then why is it so often that we make our decisions based upon what our friends are going to do? Or what our friends are doing? Or what our family is doing? Or what so-and-so tells us to do? Huh? And you see, sometimes, you know, here Friday's coming. We're here Thursday. Some of you have opportunities to go to some great parties. The bars are waiting for your money. The parties are waiting for your attendance. The choices to do those things become yours and yours alone. Understand those things. Understand it. But our choices that we make determine where we're going to go, how we're going to end up in life, and what type of blessings affect are given to us while we're here. So I asked the question, what does normal look like? See, normal, what does normal look like? It could be average. No, I don't want to just be average. I want to have a lot in life. I want to really be blessed. Does that necessarily move you out of the normal zone? No, here's forget whether it's wealthy or poor. Take that stereotype out of your mind right now and let me help you understand what normal is like. Because normal, guess what? People that are wealthy, they can be depressed, they can be angry, they can be high on drugs all the time. They can have more counselors and shrinks just because they can afford them. So wealth does not qualify for normal. And again, I've seen many, many poor people who are extremely content and happy. So being poor doesn't mean that you're not normal either. So take the money stereotype out of it for a second, and let's understand what normal is, okay? You see, we can be above the meter, or we can be below the meter. Do you know what normal is? I'm going to tell you right now, and you're going to think, wow, I never thought of that. It's a setting on your dryer. Huh? Again, most of you don't have dryers, or I'm getting it here. But there's a normal setting on your dryer. And you see, it's a dial. It's a dial. You can turn it to delicate, you can turn it to really hot, or you can turn it to normal. And this is what I want you to take away from this, is some of the choices, some of our actions, there's times that things will hit us, and it will cause us to go below normal. It'll cause us to either choose to do something that's going to take us down the slippery slope of wrong. Sometimes there's going to be times that we get really happy and that moves us above. And that's okay. But you see, sometimes when we get really happy, and I'm going to talk to you again about the mental illness and the bipolar. There's oftentimes the extremes. All of a sudden we can be really happy at one moment and then one little thing, the meter goes way down. Instead of landing on normal. Why is that? Huh? That happens to far too many of us. Oh man, I had a really good day today. Yesterday sucked. It's a really good day today, and then I'll see somebody 2 days later. Oh, this is a terrible day. You would not believe what happened. Those meters rapidly change. And so the definition of what is normal and what is sanity, it's how you deal with the issues that are going on in the moment, and I'll help you bring some clarity to that. Because that's just the way life is going to be. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're an unbeliever, you're going to have these moments where life is going to be really good, and there's going to be moments where life really sucks. It's how do you handle those situations in between that determines whether you function in normal or whether you fall below normal. Okay, it's just how it works. Now let me help you understand here. A little bit more with bipolar or mental illness. It is just that. It is a disorder. It is an illness. That is it by definition. However, if the by definition it is a disorder and it is an illness, that means there's also a cure. That means it also can be changed. Because part of the disorder has to deal with habits. Now, it's just like an alcoholic or a drug addict. Once an alcoholic, once a drug addict, always an addict, always a drug addict. Once you're bipolar, you're always going to be a bipolar, but you don't always have to let the side effects or those parts of those lives continue to affect you severely all the time. There is hope for every situation, whether it's drugs, alcohol, mental illness, anger, stress, problems of life. You see, we can all learn how to move our meter closer to normal and balance things. It's how you handle these events, and that will determine whether or not you're going to function in the normal zone, whether you're going to be above normal, or whether you're going to be below normal. It comes down to your choice. That's as simple as I can put it. But let me give you another thing here about anybody that struggles with a mental illness, an eating disorder, a bipolar. Guess what? They are the same as everybody else. Did you know that? Get up in the morning, they may eat breakfast. Guess what? When they take a shower, they put their socks on, they put their shoes on, they may go to work. They function just like you and I. They may read books. They may listen to some music. Maybe they got Lady Gaga running through their head and Poker Face. You know, but here's my thought there on that statement. Anybody, whether you have bipolar mental illness or addictions and you have Poker Face running through your mind, we've all have a little bit of an issue. Let's just confess it. Okay? And so I'm just not trying to make a funny on anything, but the deal is we all have some areas of life that we struggle. And how are we going to let those areas, and yet we're all the same. We can have different struggles, and we do just about everything else together. We go to work, we eat, we sleep, we dress, we shower, we have relationships. And why is it that my issue in my life is so much overwhelming? Nobody else understands me. Nobody else has to struggle like I do. We say that to so many people. And yet we're alike. So let me help you again. I'm going to talk to you about how you make your choices, how you dial that sanity meter so that you can function in the normal zone. My hips are getting tired, so I'm going down. When you've struggled with them for as long as I have, you need to know your limits. Okay, so the first letter in your acrostic on sanity is strength. You see, sometimes when life throws you that curveball, it doesn't take strength to swing the bat. It takes the right timing. The combination of strength and timing will allow you to hit that ball if you're a baseball player. And when curveballs, whether it's issues or problems, come into your life, you need some help. That's called strength. And here's something that when I was struggling with some things years back, probably my favorite scripture, because part of the struggles when I was in my inward struggles of depression, which led to anger, I had a lot of fear about things. Fear about how the bills were going to get paid. Fear how I was going to get returned to normal. Fear was I going to be able to walk again. Fear was I going to be able to talk again. All kinds of fear. My mind was on overload with fear. Was I going to even look or function again towards normal? And then those, even as I continued to get better, those same fears continued to be paranoid in my mind because I had begun to place them there. And then I began to take care of them. You see, even though those fears went in because of some real issues, now even as some of these real issues got better, they continued to stay in my mind as perceived issues. All right, so these got better, but what else is going to happen? Huh? That's how some of us tend to function. And so write this. If you don't know this verse, write it down. Psalm 46, verse 1. It was one that gave me huge comfort when I might have been, Maureen was maybe at work, the kids were in school, and I was alone for the day, and my mind was, you know, like going 100 miles an hour, going crazy. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? What am I going to do? You know, you just get all nervous, all fearful, all impacted. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. They're an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Until I grabbed a hold of that purpose and made it my own. You see, that helped me begin to dial in some sanity. It helped me begin to dial in some meaning, some purpose, some understanding that it's, you know, fear is a normal emotion. Huh? It is. There's times you need to be afraid. There's times you need to not touch the stove. There's times that you need to know what to do. Fear, have a healthy fear. When my fear was just going crazy, that needed to change. And so I needed the strength to change. I could not do it on my own. As much as I wanted to change and get those thoughts out of my head, I was unable to do it on my own. I needed strength other than my own brain. My brain must have been weaker than others. And sometimes we begin to believe that. And that's not true. What it is it's just Satan continued to goof with us, trying to keep you stuck with your issues. You need to understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness. When the things are going on in your mind, it's not all just other people telling you, or not, you don't have to believe everything this bad is going on around you. But our mind is playing tricks with us. And then we're not operating in the normal zone. And guess what we do sometimes? Then we take medication, we take pills, we take the bottle baths, and we have to medicate. We have to feel good for the moment. Because now at least we forget about all the other mess. Instead of facing your fears. Face your fears, but you find the strength through Christ to be able to say, I can depend upon you. You do not change. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And with your help, I can overcome anything that is messed up in my life. Find that strength. And the A stands for acceptance. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then for the glory of God as Christ has accepted you. Now here's sometimes where it gets a little messed up. We talk to you a little bit about relationships and sanity. Oftentimes there will be some girls or some guys, they think that we can fix one another. We start dating, we think, oh, I can change him, I can change her, I can make him or her to be the man or woman that I want them to be. And sometimes we get married, and uh-oh, that la-la land did not happen. In fact, they got worse. What's more? I thought I was going to have Prince Charming, or thought I was going to have this princess, and look what I have ended up with. Huh? I think it's about time to go different shopping again. And so, you know, it just becomes a nightmare. You know, understand this. Here's what happens when women are trying to change their men. That's called nagging. And here's what happens when men are trying to change their women. It's called being judgmental. It's called being abusive, usually verbally. Huh? Let's be honest. Let's call things what they are. But that's the way it tends to go. But do you want to know what normal looks like in a relationship on your meter? When you get to the point of where there's crap going on in your household and you don't beat each other up verbally or physically, you can handle those issues and talk about them in a grown-up-like manner. That is what normal looks like in a relationship. And if you would know the kind of mess that has been going around my house in the last month or so, you'd wonder, how could I talk about a normal meter? You know, pastors aren't immune. I've dealt with this back thing and the hip thing for the last 3 months, which is way out of character or order for me. And then there's been some other areas, some other family members that have had all kinds of messes, and I'm not going to go into details about them. But I can tell you that type of stuff comes around. And yet Maureen and I, instead of pointing fingers or this is all your fault, or you did that, you were stupid, you lifted those tables, you deserve what you got. Instead, we can talk about things in an adult-like manner, that's when relationships are functioning in the normal. Okay, if you want to know what normal is in relationships, there it is. You argue. You can argue without getting blue in your face, without having to scream at the top of the lungs, without having to curse the idiot that you married. Okay? That's where the relationship meter is in the normal zone. So, there's a standard to move towards. Are we always there? No. 90% of the time is really good. If you live 90% of the time in the normal zone, most of the time life is happy. That other little 10% where she says something that I don't like, you notice how I put that way? Who has the issue here? Huh? Who has the issue here? Come on, understand how it goes. I'm the one with the issue there by casting vision the other way. When you are the one that's finding fault with somebody else, understand this. God can only change you. Let God you change, and then when you begin to change, he or she will change with you. And to that, you know, that's the definition of how love is supposed to be. The only way that love grows is when the two change together. When one is constantly changing and the other one's doing nothing, the relationship might be improving, but it's not growing. You, instead of being complaining or judgmental or nagging to he or she, let God work on you and pray for the other one. And guess what? Pretty soon love begins to grow instead of go negative on the sanity meter. That's your little relationship teaching for the night. Whether you're single, whether you're married, it's something that we all can use. Okay? So, after acceptance that as our faith grows, we get to know our higher power, Jesus Christ, in a deeper way. As we accept that we are powerless, that we need hope, as Mark talked about last week, that we were powerless to change before we had hope. And you know what hope does? Hope activates our faith. That allows us to get in contact and grow deeper with our Lord. And then we can just move forward. That's the end, stands for new life. You see, if you don't have that hope, if you have not found out who Christ is, it's time you do so. It starts there, because I guarantee you that the sanity meter continues to flip from abnormal to really high. Abnormal to really high. You continue to flip back and forth, unless there's some direction or purpose in your life. So, new life. 2 Corinthians 1 through 18 says, we were really crushed and overwhelmed and feared we would never live through it. We felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God. Sometimes we need to get to the point where we just realize there's no other help that's needed. There's nowhere else to go. The verse goes on to say, and that someone could save us, that we could expect him, and he'll do it again and again. And you see, after we make some of those good choices and begin moving forward, you know what it does? It leads us into integrity. That's the I in sanity. Many times what has happened, we've alienated ourselves from family, from people who are supposed to be closest to us. They don't trust us because we've made promises. Perhaps we've stolen money. Perhaps we've told them we were going to do something and we didn't. And so now, when we say we're going to come over, they don't want us. When we say we'll come help them, oh, we don't need the help. Because they don't trust us anymore. Integrity is something that needs to be rebuilt. It's something that comes with a changed life. If you begin to say, I'm going to do something for somebody, you show up on time. If you say that you're going to be somewhere, you're somewhere. You begin to develop some good habits that creates backbone and character in you. And it helps you succeed in the game of life. And as other people begin to see you doing it on a regular basis, it builds that integrity and it starts to rebuild trust. And it just will allow you to continue to succeed and prosper with others. Integrity is so important, which leads us to the T, is trust. That's the result after we have integrity. When we have integrity, it's easier for people to trust you. Now your word means something. If you say you're going to be somewhere, chances are you show up. If you can't make it, you call. Or if you're running late or if something came up, You're trustworthy enough that you just don't let them, you just don't show up. You see, that's pretty much how things begin to work. Trust is important, though. It's only gained as we let go. We need to let go of the things that flip our meter in the wrong way. As we let go of the old habits, the old friends, the old choices, that's when our integrity begins to grow and when trust is again built in our life. In a relationship, let me tell you this, the hardest thing to regain is trust. Once trust is broken in a relationship, it is difficult. It's not impossible, but it's a struggle. Because where is she? What's she doing? When is he coming home? I thought he was supposed to be home. Where is he? It is a painful, painful experience. And those fears, and it may be justifiable late. The boss may have kept him. They may have had to stop for gas or get something. And they're 15 minutes late. Yeah, I know. I think he's with her again. Our mind just plays those tricks once trust has been broken. It's a difficult item. But once it's earned, and it can be earned again, it starts by doing things right. It starts by being open and honest. Communicate with one another. Communicate with God. Let him know when you mess up. You see, first of all, you need to come into relationship with him. And then it's as you have wrong thoughts, as you have even slip up on doing something wrong, God, forgive me. The next time I face this temptation, the next time I face this situation, help me not to mess up again. Teach me some character. Teach me some inner strength. Help me to move past this the next time. Now, it's not always easy. And guess what? Many of us fail again. And we fail again. But you're not a failure. Failures are ones that just stop trying to change and hold on to the old lifestyle. You see, God is not interested in what you've done. He's interested in who you're going to become. Did you know that? I'm not giving you a license to party like there's no tomorrow. The Easter weekend's coming, okay? But I do want you to know that he does not condemn you for things that you've done in the past. Even when you mess up, that's called sin. That's called repentance. That's called say, Lord, forgive me again. Okay, so the T. And then the Y is your higher power. Jesus Christ loves you. If you don't know tonight that somebody loves you, if you think that you're alone, if you're lonely, if you're hurting, God loves you, whether you know it or not. And that fear thing, you see, many times when I was dealing with fear, even though I had children and a wife, it felt like I was alone. Sometimes it can feel like you're alone and you have other people in your life. And what that means is God didn't move away from me, I moved away from him. And that's why I had opened myself both to depression, to anger, which ultimately led to a full-blown addiction. Because I moved away from him. Not because he moved away from me. Understand that. So if you're feeling lonely, if you feel like you can't pray, or if you try and even talk to God, it's like the words bounce off like a Super Bowl's going in the room. Doing, 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 doing. And it's going nowhere. That means there's some area in your life that you need to change. There's some area that you need to say, God, point out anything in my heart, in my mind that needs help, that needs change. Test me, try me. Teach me what is wrong with me so that I can change, so that that fellowship that you want to have with me and that I desire to have with you, take away my fears, take away my pain, take away my problems. Now, I'm not telling you that this is instantly going to give you blessings or tomorrow, that if you buy the lottery ticket that you're going to be a millionaire on Monday. I'm not telling you to do those things. But I am telling you as you allow God more in, as you allow change, not only peace, your life will be instead of whether you're poor or you become rich, guess what? That meter will function more in the normal zone. And guess what? Poor or rich, the Word of God says you can learn to be content in all things. And that means when you're in the normal zone, you can be happy. even when you don't have much. It's a lesson that some of us need to hear, some of us need to learn how to apply. Sanity. How do we get out of the chaos of life? How do we get out of the pain of the past? Issues that have happened. You don't know that I was abused. You don't know that I was divorced. You don't know that I've been a junkie forever. You don't know what I've gone through either. We've all got a story. And God knows your story, and He hasn't given up on you yet. So don't give up on yourself. Do not quit. Do not give up on yourself. God loves you. He desires to see you succeed. He wants to see you wherever you've been, whatever you struggle with, from mental illness to addictions and anywhere in between. All of these areas of life affect one another. And he loves you so much. That's why Easter is here. His Son died upon the cross so that you can have relationship with Him, so that you can experience that new life. But it comes by you choosing it. It doesn't come in an Easter basket. Doesn't come in a chocolate egg or inside a golden egg if you found it at the egg hunt. Okay, that's fairy tale stuff. Real life, it comes by faith. By saying, I know that I'm a sinner. I've never accepted Christ into my heart or life. And I want you, Jesus. I want you to come in. I want you to prove to me that you are God, that you are real. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to change. Make me brand new. That's where it starts, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have never started there, that's where you need to start. If you started there and you've been messing up all along, then you need to say, God, you know I've messed up. You know I've been living wrong. Help me to do what is right. Forgive me again. Help me to turn this life around and move forward. Bow your heads. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I just ask right now, as Jan was saying, that lead us to the cross. If there is any here tonight that has never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that you do so tonight. Don't leave here tonight not knowing that you can have new life. Talk to either a lady in your group or a guy in your group, or even talk to me at fellowship time. We'll pray with you. And you know, may know who you are. Your heart may be pittering and pattering. We're not going to ask you to step up on stage and say, hi, my name is Mike. I need to do this or I need to do that. All we want to do is pray with you in a corner of the church, somewhere where no one's watching, give you a book or something and let you start that new journey. Just touch each man and each woman here tonight. Help us to go into our groups and have an awesome discussion on who we are. Thank God who we have been, but who we're going to become is what we're looking to meet. In Jesus' name, amen. So the definition of normal is what? Did we ever answer it?
A setting on your dryer.
I'm sorry?
A setting on your dryer.
See, she listened. It is a setting on your dryer. And in between, it's different for each one of us. Because your normal is different than my normal. And so therefore it's a universal type of deal. And your problems are different than my problems. And that it's how you handle your issues that determines whether you move off of your normal. Okay? And so that's why there's recovery groups, that's why there's psychiatrists, that's why there's all these different medications. But work on your issues that you can do, and you'll keep your life closer to normal. If you're here for the first time, if you've never